Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the unfoldment of life on Earth. Part two, and before we get to that topic, I'd like to mention that later on we have a special offer for you that you don't think you'll be very interested in, but we'll speak in greater detail about that later. Meanwhile, I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust Organization. She wrote 24 volumes of literature. And the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear in this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought. The entire evolutionary process is, in the last analysis, the working out of the interrelation between God and his world. Can you say something about the part reincarnation plays in revolution? In evolution, not revolution.
Well, we were talking last time about the process of evolution taking place through repetition and through spiral progression and through repeated experience. Reincarnation operates along those lines. It's the it's called rebirth, if people aren't familiar with the term reincarnation. And it's a law. We recently did a series of programs on laws of the soul. Reincarnation is a big one. That's one of the major laws governing the evolution of the soul, that we can't master life. We can't become masters of wisdom in one lifetime. I think that's obvious to any reasonable person. And the fact of the law of reincarnation is a great blessing and a great gift that allows us to return and repeatedly undergo experiences and testing until we finally get it right. There's that wonderful movie, which I've mentioned before, Groundhog Day, which is such a... It's a deeper movie than people might realize because... Bill Murray is stuck on this date, February 2nd, until he evolves out of his selfish, self-centered, obnoxious temperament and learns to love and serve selflessly. And it's a sweet, funny movie, but there's quite a lot of significance to it about how reincarnation works. There is no real progression forward until one has made the effort to do so. And so we experience lifetime after lifetime building our little domain, building our little house of cards, our sandcastles of desire and craving and hoping and longing and wishing and striving, and seeing them destroyed over and over again until we learn to value and seek out things of really lasting spiritual value.
And speaking of spiritual value, one of the values that is kind of the foundation for all the evolutionary processes on Earth is the great principle of love. That is the primary energy that is the God of our planet is trying to work out, trying to express through humanity, through, in fact, all the other kingdoms in addition to humanity. And it is the great law of love that kind of governs everything that is happening. That is the eventual goal, to express love in a divine sense not love as we understand it today, but it's the process we're going through, but a love of God as expressed by the Christ, expressed by God. All the saints down through the ages have tried to express this divine sense of love, and that's one of the great values underlying all the evolutionary processes.
There's a wonderful comment that Alice Bailey made, that the whole aim of evolution for us is love dominated by intelligence. Or, she says, intelligence dominated by love. It doesn't matter, because their interaction will, when evolution is complete, be complete. Love and intelligence will be fully expressed in the human being. And reincarnation is the repeated opportunity to learn to love more. Basically, I think that's really what lies behind reincarnation. And if we could look at our circumstances in any particular lifetime with whoever shares our lives and whoever, in some cases, impedes our path as we see it, those are the very people given to us to love, because they're there. And if we are all divine in origin and divine in destiny, the people who are in our environment are those particular souls given to us to learn to love. And reincarnation is the opportunity repeatedly to get it right. It goes through stages, and it explains why, due to reincarnation, not everybody is at the same point on the spiritual or evolutionary path. Some people are quite naturally selfish and self-centered for their particular stage of evolution. And we can trust in the processes of reincarnation to take care of that selfishness. Others are at a stage of selflessness, of willingness to sacrifice, which means literally to make sacred, who are ready to give up something in order to attain something greater. And that's an interesting thought that Alice Bailey says, that sacrifice is a fundamental aspect of evolution. It's a deeply sacred aspect, and it goes back to early man, doesn't it, this willingness to sacrifice?
Yes, well, in fact, I think it goes back further than that. It goes back to God himself, that deity that has ensouled this planet or has created this planet and is working through this planet. If you think about it, it's a great sacrifice on the part of this great being to work through this, the limitations imposed by the earth itself and all the different kingdoms that are evolving on this planet. And there are more kingdoms than we can see. But there is the, and that's where we get this whole urge or willingness to sacrifice and relinquish into, if we choose one way or the other in one line of conduct, and thus we sacrifice another way to, and we lose in order to gain. And that's the underlying, whole underlying story of evolution.
Give and give again, and thus in giving gain, it's said. That's the sensed inspiration or motivation for sacrifice, that in giving up something, more will be attained on a higher level. And coming back to this fact that not everybody's at the same stage of the evolutionary path, to remind ourselves, evolution progresses from the physical to the emotional to the mental bodies, or vehicles as they're called. The soul takes control of its equipment, so to speak, its outer person, first through coordinating the physical body, and we see this in the child who learns to walk, and then to control himself physically. Then the soul works through the emotional nature to bring about stability and balance and a freedom from the urges and storms of the desire nature. And we see, I suppose, in the adolescent human being, that experience recapitulated in each lifetime, where the gaining control over the emotions has to occur, hopefully at an early stage. And then the mental development, where we become consciously aware of a guiding force in our lives. Then, when that comes, the soul can communicate or impress its goal and its purpose more directly upon us, and then evolution really starts up in a speedier way. And actually, I think the tests and trials come faster.
Yes, and things become more subtle as we move on into the more subtle realms of consciousness, and so they begin to affect our consciousness more and more, and the crises that we go through change in nature and in character because they become crises of our intent or our purpose mm-hmm. in life and
what, our values.
Right, and the values change from strictly personality, selfish values, to the more selfless orientation towards the whole and the values of the whole that the soul is trying to work out and express in the world.
Another aspect of the reincarnation and its role in evolution is one of those laws of the soul called the law of repulse. I think we talked about it on a recent program, mm-hmm. the law yeah. of repulse. It sounds so strange in a program about spiritual truths to talk about repulsion, and yet that's mm-hmm. a deeply spiritual activity of the soul. What it means is the capacity, like you're saying, of subtle recognition, increasingly subtle recognition of those aspects or ideas or urges that must be eliminated from one's life, that no longer suit the growth of the soul. Certain habits of thought and certain desires and certain tendencies and attitudes have to go. They have to be eliminated because they're not worthy of the soul. Well, the really, really big repulsion is the process of death itself. And maybe after our break, we can talk a bit about death and evolution.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, the unfoldment of life on Earth, part two. We have a special offer for you today. It's a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company. And those are the Alice Bailey books, volumes 1 and 2, both books, the title of which is Esoteric Psychology. And it'll be available for you for a fee of $41. And the discount is really coming in the form of free shipping and handling. But in order to acquire the books for $41 at no shipping charge, you have to mention that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. So if you'd like those books, and by the way, if you purchase those books, Esoteric Psychology, Volumes 1 and 2, you'll find a lot more information about the Alice Bailey concept of evolution, and you'll be able to read at much greater depth about it. So that's Esoteric Psychology, Volumes 1 and 2. Send a check or money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's a check or money order for $41 to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And to get the free shipping and handling, you have to mention that you heard about it on Inner Sight. If you'd like to have a general package of information telling you a lot more about Lucis Trust, then what you have to do is just give us a call and ask for our general package of information at 1-866-695-8247. Easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Lucis is LUCIS. Our website where you can key into our previously archived library of radio shows is www.lucistrust.org. That's www.lucistrust.org. And we appreciate those donations you give us. They've really helped us to remain on the air. So thank you for all of your support. And if you'd like us to remain on the air, please continue with the donations. Just send donations to Lucis Trust, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Let's get back to our show. And, Sarah, we have a lot more to say. You left them hanging with a particular point that you were going to make, and let's...
Well, we were talking about reincarnation, and that inevitably leads to a consideration of the role of death, which is fundamental in the evolutionary journey. Dale mentioned the in-breathing and out-breathing, which is the cyclic return of the soul. And as we know, the soul doesn't incarnate only through the human experience, but on all levels of life on Earth. Everything is in the process of dying and being reborn. It's utterly natural and good that this law of repulse, as I mentioned, requires the discarding of forms when they no longer serve the purposes of the soul. They no longer are fit for, as a vehicle for the soul to take its next phase of the journey. If we think of a ship that has sprung a leak, in a sense, that's what happens when a physical body becomes too ill, too incapacitated, or too coarse in its substance to really provide a right and proper vehicle for the soul. And so it is relinquished, it's let go of. And that is the in-breath, I guess, of incarnation. Or is that the out-breath?
No, there's, I just wanted to bring up that point too, that there is also a counterpart to evolution, and that's the involutionary stage, the involution, it's the coming into form, in other words. And the soul does this with every life. It comes into form, into the world, into the physical, dense physical world. It appropriates a body, a physical body of some kind of quality. And then it works with this physical body. And in the beginning, it could be actually a prison house for the soul, because it's tremendous limitations on the abilities and capacities of the soul to radiate light into the world, its own light and love. And but until one reaches that stage of evolving life after life after life, and perfection after perfection after perfection, until one begins to reach a stage where the vehicle then becomes a form for revelation, as is called. It's a vehicle that can be used constructively and is less and less of a limitation on the soul, because it is more refined, it's made of more refined substance, and the vehicle, or the physical body, the physical, emotional, mental bodies become a vehicle for revelation. And that is the case with more advanced stages. So there is this invocation stage, and then the evolutionary stage is really the return cycle. It's the cycle leaving the father's home, coming into the world, and then returning to the father's home. It's the great wheel, the great cycle.
This this process, though, of death also occurs in ways that don't involve just the death of a body, the physical body, death as we typically think of it. On the spiritual path, there are a lot of shattered forms, things that we have built, created, that have meant so much to us, businesses that we have started, relationships that we have formed, creative projects that we have poured our whole being and desire into, and at some point, sometimes they end up being shattered, and they vanish, and we feel such a sense of loss. But another way of looking at it is that the seeker, the spiritual aspirant, through the shattering of forms, changes the key of his life. If he were a musician and his life were a composition, the key needs to change sometimes. And for that to happen, and for the vibration to heighten, forms of various sorts have to be relinquished, let go of. Goals change, aspirations change.
And that's where the whole law of sacrifice comes back in.
Mm-hmm.
One has to let go and sacrifice that which is worn out or that which is past and of no longer of use to the soul.
And I think this decision to relinquish and to change the key is made by the soul, and it's inevitable, and we don't have to worry about whether it's going to happen or not. So many of us, I think, judge another person's life, especially if they're someone either very dear to us or someone very repellent or offensive to us. We judge their life and say, well, why doesn't he or she choose another goal? Why does he focus so on that little business of his? It's not going to go anywhere. Why does she pour her heart and soul into the relationship with that person? Don't worry about it. Their soul will sort it out. Things will happen that will require the relinquishing of that which doesn't serve the interests of the soul. And it just might be that that project that they are so focused on is in fact their next step and does evoke from them something that is deeply expressive of who they are at the present point.
Yes, and there may be some karmic link there between these relationships, and for reasons that we don't understand or can't see, that these old karmic relationships are being worked out and a balance is being struck between something that might have happened in previous lives. So you have to take that into account, too.
Right, and even in this particular lifetime, after you reach a certain age, which I won't mention, I mean, everybody has their particular age where they start looking back on their life and saying, I can't believe that I thought that particular goal was so important, or that all I wanted was that master's degree, or what I really, really wanted was a chance to become perhaps famous as an actress, or to make a composition of some sort, or to make a lot of money. Your goals change, and you can probably look back and say, I can't believe I gave everything to the achieving of something, and I actually did reach it, and now I don't even remember why it was so important to me. That's evolution at work in our lives. We are all experts at letting go of things, and we shouldn't fear it so much.
And it's good, because this long, long journey, this long process is really a journey of perfecting and of upgrading the very substance of the bodies, you know, not just the physical body, but your emotional body, especially today, the emotional nature needs much more perfecting and refining. And the mental nature also needs refining. And so it's a constant moving process of upgrading your vibration rate. There's a lot of talk today around about, you know, vibration, your vibes, and everything vibrates. All the substance that we're made of, all of life is vibration, and it results in some kind of form or another, dense or subtle forms. And these have to constantly be refined, and you have to build in new substance, new vibrations, and so it's an ongoing process.
I suppose that a lot of our experience on the emotional level is the bringing about of a higher vibration. We don't realize it in our suffering and our agony. That is, in fact, what's occurring. But we are learning gradually to desire that which is higher and finer.
And related to that could be, it goes back to what we said earlier about the law of love. Love is one of those qualities that we can see, that we can identify in life, and we can see it changing. Our whole understanding of what love is and how we express love in our lives is one indicator of that evolving process.
Well, there are zillions of definitions of love, but the definition of love as uniting with that which is the other and seeing the oneness that is essentially complete unity would fit this definition of evolution as the tendency to amalgamation, mm-hmm. and to intercommunication, to the establishment of networks and connections. That's the force of love in evolution, and we can see that underway in the world in all kinds of aspects, in globalization, in the European Union, in the forming of trade agreements, in the United Nations. There are so many different expressions of love. People don't realize that that is actually love in action, but this desire to form networks and unions and groups and larger wholes is the evolutionary force of love at work. And there's a wonderful statement from Alice Bailey about this whole compelling urge. She said that where there is a realization of worlds to conquer, truths to be learned and conquests to be made, desires to be achieved, there you will have a festering sense of limitation, goading the seeker on to renewed effort and driving the living entity along the path of perfection. Joseph Campbell used to say, follow your bliss. I think he's referring to that compelling urge to go after what you love.
Yes, absolutely. And it's, as you say, it's this movement to fuse and to blend and to cohere and to produce that interrelationship which eventually all leads to synthesis. And down the line, I think that is really the goal ahead of humanity, is to achieving some kind of synthesis, especially a synthesis in consciousness.
Well, yes, the capacity to see the whole and to find that all the parts of the tremendous diversity of the world, in fact, are each of them reflections of that wholeness. That's mm-hmm. the best I can do with synthesis.
And please take advantage of our special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that is the two volumes of Alice Bailey books upon which this show is based, Esoteric Psychology, Volumes 1 and 2, and they're available for $41. That's a special offer. The discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling, providing that you mention that you heard it on Inner Sight. So send your check or money order for $41 to Lucis Publishing, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And that's once again Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. If you'd like a general package of information about Lucis Trust, and Lucis Trust sponsors this radio show, give us a call on 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.